Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Thursday, December 30th, 2021. And the first half of this show is going to be pre-recorded, and then Michael and I'll be back with you at 1 o'clock. This is on First Century Aramaic Forgiveness. Enjoy.
Say, welcome everybody. Honored and delighted that you're here to share this space with us as we engage in the bringing forward of these awesome tools based in the first century Aramaic language and first century Aramaic thinking, where it was understood that we did not live in a physical world, but rather we lived in an energetic world, and the principles of how this energy system operates were understood far, far better than they are understood today, when we've been convinced that we live in a physical world made of physical stuff, and that physical stuff has capabilities beyond the power of what we're able to do as human beings, when we realize that we are back of and superior to, that we are the moving force behind what happens in our world. And so we're here to, in particular, bring forward the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness, the opposite of what our culture teaches us, as our culture tells us that, of course, if you're in pain or you're in trauma, somebody else's fault that that's happening, and all you need to do is let them off the hook for what's happening inside of you, and then everything is okay. Now, of course, I could line up 7.5 billion people, shake each of their hands, and tell them how I forgive them, but that won't put one dent in the pain-producing power in my mind if it's there. What forgiveness does is it opens those parts of the mind where our pain is stored, and it empowers the release of those things. So when you think of forgiveness as removal or release rather than the act of letting someone else off the hook. And it's interesting to hear how many people talk about forgiveness and talk about how, yes, well, you know, it freed me, it did this, it did that. And I just doesn't make sense that because I let someone else off the hook, somehow that's going to change the content of my mind, or somehow that's going to change the ability of my mind to remove pain. Of course, you can, by quote-unquote letting another off the hook, perhaps break the link of the pain that your mind is producing with a particular object of attention. And by doing that, there will be a tendency for that relationship to improve. But what we're really looking to do is to understand that forgiveness has the ability to reach into the depths of one's own mind, and the technology of how to reach into those depths was developed over 2,000 years ago. And when we put it to work, it just creates the most amazing and powerful results. So we're delighted that you're here to have this conversation with us, and we'd love to hear from you if you're on one of those stations that we don't have access to in our control panel. Our calling number is 563-999-3581. If you're in the chat room and you haven't registered with Blog Talk, then you can't really talk to us through the chat room. You can do a simple registration process, or you can call us at that 563-999-3581. When you do that, you'll be listening to the show. And if you push 1, that puts a hand up in the phone queue. Jeannie will know that you want to talk to us and introduce us by your area code. And so, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room, or do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, on both occasions. I'm the only one in the chat room, and nobody has a hand up. Camille was talking to Dr. Tim at the close of that show, but I think we completed with her. So, and you couldn't hear her, but when you were talking to Aria, she was giving you that snarl face, that scrunched up nose and all that. So, she wasn't saying anything, but she was giving you her little face.
Okay.
So we have 53 minutes. We've got plenty of time to do a lot of conversation. Press 1.
What's on your mind? How can we support you? If you haven't put the tool of forgiveness to work in your world yet, we invite you to go to your app store, whether you're on the iPhone or the Android. And as you do that, type in the words Heartland Aramaic forgiveness. Actually, you only have to put in the word Heartland and the letter A, and the app will come up on your list. If you click on it, install it, you have a totally private app in which you can carry out the forgiveness process. There are 2 different versions. You can select either of the versions of the wake-up sheet, either the current 7-step or a slightly more simplified one. And each one takes you to the same place. It takes you through the steps of forgiveness. The app is purposely, specifically designed to be totally and completely private, so that you can put anything in there that you choose and no one has access to it but you. If you choose to print it, you can save it to your phone. But otherwise, when you exit that particular worksheet that you do, then it disappears back to the electronic components of which it is made and is gone. So you can be assured that it's totally and completely private, and we invite you to put it to work in your life and watch what happens. No belief required, or you can go to our website, whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and in the upper left-hand corner of the page, if you click on the Start Here button right up at the very tippy top of the left of the page, then you will be walking through all of the information that we could possibly give you on how to engage in first century Aramaic forgiveness. It's quite a shock to people when they realize that saying the words "I forgive you" or "I forgive myself" have nothing whatsoever to do with actual forgiveness. What has happened is that the Greek act of pardoning, letting somebody else off the hook, "I forgive you," "I let you off the hook for what you've done," has been substituted for the actual process of forgiveness as it was taught in the first century Aramaic. And so in understanding how forgiveness works, it becomes something totally and completely different than this process of letting yourself or trying to let yourself or someone else off the hook, but rather it becomes a process of collapsing the current pained perception and dropping it and accessing what's beneath it, what's the root of that pain perception. And when you bring that energetic imbalance forward in the presence of love, then that which is at the root of your pain perception collapses. And as it collapses, you get free of the load that you put on yourself, or perhaps has been put into your mind over the generations by those who didn't know any better. Right, remembering that this body-mind unit is a device that registers everything that comes to it, and that every energy is recorded holographically in every cell of the structure, including the sperm and the egg, So if you conceive a child tomorrow, that child would have in its structure every thought you've ever thought, every feeling you've ever felt, every reality you've ever engaged in, every construct you've ever engaged in would be stored in your children's minds as that which your parents and their parents and their parents engaged in are stored within yours. If we hide the parts of our minds away that we don't want to deal with, and the most powerful way to do that, or I guess I should say the most disempowering way to do that, is to pretend that whatever's going on in your mind, in your physiology, in your life is somebody else's fault. And so we have this blame game. You know, Patrick was sharing yesterday the insight that he and Joel had shared, that Joel was talking about how the blame has been going on for so long. You go right back to the creation story, and, you know, there was a problem ostensibly with an apple, and whose fault was the apple? Well, Eve had the snake to blame. Adam had Eve to blame, and then Adam turned around and blamed the Creator for giving him Eve in the first place. And so, you know, the blame game has been going on for a long time. What first century Aramaic forgiveness does is it totally frees one of the blame game and lets one see directly the contents of their own minds, which is that which is sourcing anything to do with pain. Events and circumstances. Short of somebody canceling the thought, coming up and punching us in the nose, all pain is caused by the unconscious internal dynamics of energies that don't belong within our structure, energies that are off the mark. Hence our definition from the Aramaic of sin, sin being an archery term that means off the mark. Now, if you fired at the bullseye on the archery range and you missed the bullseye, then we would yell sin. And when you realize in human terms that sin is simply engaging an energy that is off the mark, you know, and of course, to determine what's off the mark, you'd kind of want to have a sense of what's on the mark. And the best way I've been able to come up with understanding what's on the mark for this human system is to establish from the very beginning what was the energy that it was sourced in. And the easiest way that I know to do that is just imagine yourself or remember when you've held a newborn child. And if you go back to the moment of holding that newborn and tapping into the essence of that newborn, what we found over the years is we've asked the question to people, what was your newborn experience like? Go back to the moment where you held that newborn baby and tap into the essence of that newborn. And we get all kinds of words that are all based in love. Words like sweetness, purity, beauty, peacefulness. We get words that are reflections of the state of our created selves. And then I ask people as they tap into that, because there's another trick that's been done in our culture, and we've been taught that love is something we're supposed to do to each other or we're supposed to do to ourselves. And yet, if you think about that moment where you held the newborn, you'll notice that the newborn is not loving you. You'll notice that the newborn is love. It's a state of being. It's what we are. It's the very, this state of active present love is our very lives. If you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he had a really simple explanation as to what he was about and why he was here. He said, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. I come to support you having a taste of and living as the active presence of love, reclaiming your human life. And everything that he delivered is about the reclamation of our human lives, about the truth of who we are. And my offering is that any energy other than love that is put into this system inhibits our awareness of who we are, covers over the truth of the experience we're designed to have. And so forgiveness removes those energetic patterns based in hostility and fear that have in too many cases created false images in our minds of who we are, and we've fallen into identification with those false images. So what forgiveness does is it collapses and removes those false images of self, those false images of self as less than perfect, as less than whole, as damaged, as there being something wrong with, of, you know, something should be different here. By removing those interfering energies, we get to go back to the truth of who we are as human beings. And we get to realize that the energy that's designed to fuel this human energy system is the energy of conscious, active, present love. And that's what I offer Yeshua King to restore life, conscious, active, present love, and life more abundantly, to allow the full experience and the full expression, no matter what anybody else is doing in your world. You know, people say, who could be loving after watching someone pull off some atrocity? I'll tell you the person who could be loving after watching someone pull off some atrocity, the person who didn't have resonance with that atrocity. If you watch someone go into a fit of rage and there's rage in you, there'll be a tendency for there to be rage move. It's called resonance. If I forgive as to my rage, if I remove my rage, then what's left is the truth of who I am as love. And if I'm aware of that, then I can be witness to anything happening in the world. And if there isn't something in me that responds with a strong negative energy, then I will stand as a space of active love. If there is something that responds in me that takes me out of the awareness of myself as love, then I've bought into a false identity, and the idea of this work is to remove that false identity, to forgive that identity that's based in something other than love. The messages that have been given by the people around us and by our culture that we are so steeped in that we just kind of automatically, unconsciously buy into it, to start to question those things and to remove those things from our minds. That's the bottom line of where we're going with this work, and that's what we're here to support. We're here to support you having the tools, the awareness, and we're here to give the most total and complete support and knowledge and understanding of these tools that we have developed to date. Hopefully, you know, maybe in our interaction with you today, there'll be another piece for each of us to learn in our interaction so that we can support another with it, with that understanding at still a new depth tomorrow. So we're here not as experts, but rather recognizing that we're in process as everyone else is, and simply offering the space of support and the tools that have come from the practice that each of us has engaged in, and inviting you into that practice. And then inviting you to pass that practice along to others. So that's what we're here to do. And we hope to be a blessing by being present with you. What's on your mind? How can we support you? If you're in the phone queue and push 1, we'll be having a conversation. And we invite you to, you know, as you're doing your work, to keep a notebook with questions about, you know, even the smallest things that need to be understood about these tools as you use them. The smallest questions oftentimes lead to the biggest insights when we get into alignment with. And the whole idea is that of aligning with truth. We'll be doing an intensive in February here in Eastern Tennessee, a Laws of Living intensive. And we put forward in that intensive the Aramaic understanding of law, which has nothing to do with this culture's idea that law is the rule of a superior and you better obey. There's no obedience required under the laws of living in the Aramaic. it is rather harmonizing with or aligning with the energy systems in the energy field in which you live, move, and have your being. And as you do that, you live in harmony with law. And so if you're ready to take your work to the next level, drop Janie an email, J-E-A-N-I-E at W-H-Y, again, .org. Let her know that you're interested. It's a 16-day residential intensive. There's a textbook that's about 250 pages, and it's done in a different, completely different approach than our regular intensive. It's done in the Socratic method of asking questions. There are several essays, several tools that move into things like cleaning up grievances in the mind toward parents, toward others. Just a whole series of tools that we engage in and a whole different level of understanding. We introduce the concept of regulatory speech. You'll notice during the radio show oftentimes we'll stop someone in the middle of a sentence and say, invite them to go back and listen to this speech that they've used and recognize that our speech always tells us, if you listen to people's speech, you know, if you listen to the politician who says, well, we put forward this new bill and this bill is not going to do this, you know exactly where that politician's heading. They're heading to do exactly what they said they're not about doing, because our words always tell the truth of what it is that we're about. So as you listen to your own mind and you start to listen to your own words, when you have an interaction with someone and someone says, gee, well, you know, how were you feeling with that happening? Oh, I wasn't angry at all. Guess what? If I know how to decode my words, what I just said was, there's a part of my mind involved in the situation that's angry, and I'm in denial of it. I'm trying to hide that from myself. And when people hear that feedback, you know, oftentimes they'll be, oh, well, that's just not true. I didn't mean that. Or other times they'll stop, they'll take a breath, and they'll say, well, let me look at that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, my goodness, I had no idea I had that kind of anger about this particular situation. And then, of course, we point out that to believe that you've got anger about a situation is to believe in a lie. You've never been angry about a situation in your life. If there's anger in your mind can select any situation, and if you live in denial, then your mind will tell you the story that you're angry about that. And so we refresh the mind on our definition in this work of denial. And denial is the act of thinking or speaking as though something on the outside causing what's happening on the inside. You know, the common link, the common lie that's told in the culture is, you made me mad. You made me sad. You hurt me. You made me so afraid. You disturbed me so much. What I'm telling myself in this case is that there's anger and mad and sad and disturbance in my mind, and I'm pretending to myself, I'm believing that something outside of me is causing that. And when I do that behavior, when I language and express things in that form, what I'm telling myself, if I could decode the content of my own words in my own mind, what I'm telling myself is that there's a big part of my mind that I'm hiding from myself, and we call that process of hiding dissociation. If I want my mind to only show me evidence that you're the one who made me angry, then I have to dissociate from the cause of my anger, and I put this thick layer over that so that I think I won't ever have to look at that again. And yet the energy of that anger sits within me, resonates, and tends to draw somebody else in through resonance to play that out with me. When I stop playing the game of denial, when I stop speaking as though something outside of me is the cause of what's inside of me, then I can invite my mind to show me the root of the energetic pattern that's causing my anger, my sadness, my grief, my rage, my pain, whatever it happens to be. And once I can confront that directly, and that's precisely what first century Aramaic forgiveness does, is it empowers one to precisely confront the part of their minds that they're hiding from themselves. And so when I can do that, when I can bring the hidden part of my mind forward, and I bring that forward in the presence of love, by exposure to that act of love, the trauma or underlying pain tends to dissolve, and I get free of it. So that's the genius of the forgiveness process from the first century Aramaic. And if you're out there listening and we can support you with a question or a thought, then just push one, raises a hand in the control panel. Jeannie will see that, and we'll introduce you by your area code. Jeannie, do we have anybody with a question for us? Anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No. We have many people on the switchboard, but nobody has put a hand up, and I'm still, there's one viewer and then me in the chat room, and that's it.
Okay. Well,
along the lines go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sweetie.
I was just going to say I had a conversation with someone the other day, so kind of along the lines of what you're saying around the way that we speak, perhaps in your words, I explained in my words, the person I was talking to was having an issue come up around an interaction with another person, and the tendency was, of course, to blame the other person, and having them shift their words to that it was their reality or that it was their impression instead of making a statement that was absolute about the other person. I don't know if I'm trying to explain it without exposing the actual conversation.
I hear you. Well, you know, you bring up a principle about the mind and how the mind operates, and that is that the mind is always reflecting its own content first and foremost. And when I language that the content of my mind is caused by someone else, then once again, I'm living in denial. But my mind is still going to show me its content. And the challenge is, especially when I'm dealing with content that I am pained about, is the whole culture has taught us, as we started to show out with this blame idea, the whole culture has taught us to blame someone else for it. And the genius of first century Aramaic forgiveness, it's a profound technology of the mind, is that what happens is when I apply forgiveness, when I'm standing in this space of having a conversation about that person out there and how they did this what they did is responsible for my pain, in that situation, I'm dissociating from the internal cause of my pain and projecting my pain into my brain's image of them. So they show up with my pain attached, and I think that it's their pain. What first century Aramaic forgiveness does, what the technology does, is it collapses the pictures that are made by the mind that keep us believing, the perceptions that the mind creates that keep us believing that it's all everybody else's fault. And, you know, one of my tongue-in-cheek lines that I love to deliver is, you'll notice if you've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the one that was there every time. Your pain's perception is about you. It's not about anyone else. And the very act of holding pain's perception sets up a resonance that draws someone to me, and they'll tend to play off of that energy that I am literally radiating. When I hold an energy in my mind, energy by definition is motion, and anything that creates motion creates energy waves. You know, imagine I'm standing underwater. I'm in the ocean with a pail of water in my hand, and I'm spinning that pail of water. What happens as that pail of water that I'm spinning interacts with the ocean water? It creates a wave within the ocean. The very pattern, if I'm going, you know, moving rather quickly, then I slow down, then I go more quickly, then I slow down, the wave that comes off of the pail's interaction with the water is going to move quickly in one case and then slow down in another. So it's going to, in a sense, we could say it's communicating about the source of the wave that's being created. The wave itself is carrying the energy pattern of the motion that created it. And so if I hold, let's say, anger in my mind, and I talk about how everybody else makes me angry, I'm literally, those energetic patterns, by definition, energy is motion. And anything that moves creates an energy wave that communicates the source of the motion. And through what we call the law of resonance, I am, when I do that, unconsciously communicating to all the world about exactly what's going on in my mind. And it's almost like a cry for someone to come and do it to me. You know, what we know is that resonance creates motion toward in the human realm. Resonance is an energy exchange that causes people to be drawn into the space. And so when someone does a particular behavior that bounces off of that hidden part of my mind, then their behavior is going to tend to move that part of my mind in me. And if I can simply undo my denial, if I can simply say to myself, here I am with that old instant rage. I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Why is it that this is going on in me again or still? If I can stop and own it and say, obviously, it must be mine, although my mind is so expert at projection. My mind is so expert at making pictures up that it's all about somebody or something else. But sooner or later, I have to stop long enough to say, do I really want this response in me? And if I can say, no, I don't want this response in me, I got it. I've been through it 87 different times. There were 42 different people present, and every time my mind really produced a picture that was believable that this was about somebody else. But here I am at the source of it every time. And what forgiveness does is it collapses that projection. It literally collapses the world of reality. And reality is the output of the human mind. And when I can collapse that reality, it collapses in on itself. And when it collapses in on itself, I get to see the root energy, that which is back of and superior to the pictures my mind is creating, the projection that my mind is creating. And when I can do that and own the fact that what's going on inside of me belongs to me, then I can begin to utilize the forgiveness process to...
So he'll dial right back in. So he's talking about our perception and changing that perception, and that forgiveness does that, collapses the projection we have, and then we see things differently. So while we're waiting on him to call right back in, there he is. Okay,
here
I'm not
real
sure
hear you.
What you said after you disappeared, but so maybe go back about five statements.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that. So what I was heading toward is recognizing the point at which it became apparent to me and I was shown what it is that brings real healing, and that when we are in that state of projection, when we're in that state of blaming someone else, there's a part of our minds, the part that's hidden that is not available to us. And the genius thing that forgiveness does is it makes those parts of the mind available, and it makes them available in the presence of love. Looking back, you know, as I said, you know, 25, 30 years ago, I was, you know, just contemplating the previous years of working with people and watching situations where monumental healing took place, where just huge issues would break through and break down in people's lives. And it was like something that, you know, maybe somebody had done years of work on, and all of a sudden it was gone. They were done with it. How did that happen? Other people worked and worked and worked, but never really got that shift to take place. And after watching that for years, what became very apparent to me is that in order for healing to occur, two things have to happen simultaneously. One, the root of pained perception has to be directly exposed, no longer hidden in the unconscious. One is face-to-face with and embracing it right there in the moment. And rather than embracing it out of their pain or their fear or their trauma, they're embracing it from the point of conscious, active, present love. You know, if you look at step four in the wake-up sheet, step four is where you bring forward purposely, consciously. You enter into the practice of bringing love, conscious, active, and present in your mind. And once you've done that, then you transfer your answer from step three, where you've identified the goal that's driving the perception. You transfer that goal exactly as it's written in step three to step five, and you cancel it, which seems like a really ridiculous thing to do. But forgiveness is the act. You know, the word forgive is shebag or shabak in Aramaic, and it means to cancel. When I cancel the goal that's driving the projection, the perception at the moment that you're the cause of my pain, that perception collapses in on itself, and it gives me access to the deeper hidden part of my mind. As that perception collapses, it opens a pathway into the hidden part. And once that hidden part is confronted and I can embrace it, I can bring it forward, fully, full-blown, total memory of that experience in the presence of love, or, and that's when something is cognitive, or energetically I'm able to embrace that. I may not have cognitive awareness of what it was. I may not know what the memory was, but the hidden pain of it I'm able to embrace energetically and bring forward. Well, either I or someone in the space is holding to conscious, active, present love. And when those two things meet, then the underlying pain exposed to the presence of love, literally the energy is transmuted. It changes its form, and I'm freed of it. That's called healing. And it doesn't matter what the disease is in your physiology that's being caused by that hidden underlying traumatic energy. It doesn't matter what the physiological or emotional disturbance or distortion is. It could be, you know, the ABC disease or the XYZ disease. It could be emphysema or cancer or heart disease or lung disease or diabetes. It doesn't matter what it is. If I can bring that energy which is off the mark, that's creating a distortion in tissue, forward in the presence of active love, then the distorted, the diseased energy, the energy that's off the mark, the sin, begins to dissolve in the presence of love. And when it does, whatever's at its root begins to heal. The physiological expression changes. And if we go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. In Aramaic, that's not what it says at all. They understood much better than we do. what those words said was, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. That mind energy that I'm holding on to literally becomes my physiology, healthy or diseased. If it's a dis-ease energy, hatred, fear, anger, rage, sadness, grief, pain, drama and trauma in any form, then wherever that energy is stored in tissue, if it's stored in the big toe, then somebody will look at the big toe and say, the big toe is distorted. You have the pig toe disease. Of course, they'll give it a fancy Latin name, and they'll have a fancy drug to try to manipulate it into suppressing the appearance of the symptoms that are there. If you take that very same energy and you put it into the kneecap, somebody will look at it. They'll have a fancy long Latin name, probably a longer name than the one for the toe disease, and they'll say you have the whatever kneecap disease. If you take the same disease energy that creates the kneecap disease or the toe disease, and you put it in the lung, the heart, the liver, the brain, then somebody will look at it and they'll see the anomaly. They'll see the distortion of the heart, the lung, the liver, the brain, and they'll say, ah, you've got the heart, the lung, the liver, brain disease. We've got a fancy name and we've got a really expensive drug to see if we can manipulate that energy. What if you understood that it's all energy? And if you have the big toe, the kneecap, the heart, the lung, or the liver, or the brain disease, you bring love present to that part of your structure, and that part of your structure instantly reorganizes into health. And there's what people call miraculous healing that occurs. It's not miraculous. If you're listening to the show yesterday, Patrick McGann called in. Patrick's been a friend of mine for 40-plus years, and he mentioned that 23 years ago he was at Heartland and did several intensives and kind of let the work go and moved on. And he came back this past summer, having allowed himself to get to the point where, with diabetes, he could hardly walk. He literally had to stop due to the burning pain in his feet. He had to stop just walking up a single flight of stairs 3 times. He could, he's in his 70s, he could wake up in the morning and do 2 to maybe 3 hours work, and the pain in his feet. Well, someone would go in there and say, well, you see, these are nerve degeneration. This is, you know, diabetes at its worst, and it's just the way it is. He's going to live with that till he dies. Well, if you listen to the show yesterday, Patrick was telling us that he's now up to working 7 or 8 hours. He spent 50 days at Heartland this summer. He's up to working 7 or 8 hours. And he has no burning pain in his feet. None. Now, that's not possible for a 72-year-old man to do after having diabetes for years. For those who were with us at Heartland this summer, who watch Patrick, and, you know, we talk about the general rules of where energy gets stored within the structure, and the tendency for the pancreas to be distorted by pain is usually caused by grief. And for those who were with us this summer, you remember this tough guy, and Patrick's, you know, martial artist, military guy, tough guy. And you'll notice how many times Patrick dropped into with the support of the whole group. And this, he went through about 3 or 4 rounds of dealing with having been in training in the military in Korea, and that they are doing mock battles between different facets of the U.S. military, and where his team won this mock battle, and some others on the other side were angry that he led the team that beat them. And he shared with the group that the opposing team captured him. These are his own men. These are the guys that he's training with and working with. Captured him. They hung him upside down by wires just a couple of feet from the ground and set off a tear gas bomb in his face. Now, if you were there to watch Patrick this summer as he coughed and just the energy being processed out of his lungs, he went through at least three, maybe it was four rounds of this just deep, gut-wrenching coughing, crying, tears, grief, and pain as he had the remembrance of this being betrayed and tortured and learning that there was nobody he could trust. You know, if you remember the look on his face, anybody who's listening that was there this summer, remember, I was like, I just couldn't understand. These are my own guys. What are they doing? Torturing me. And I mean, seriously torturing him. But Patrick went from where there were three stops in order to go up the steps to where he was walking his dog at Heartland. And for those who've been there, you know, there's this big circle around the property and then the road that goes down to the lake, the road that goes up to the top of the hill. He got to the point where he'd walked that whole road with his dog, a mile to a mile and a half every day with no foot pain and without stopping. Now, people would say, no, that's just not possible. He's got the physical result of the physical disease called diabetes. Excuse me. If you believe there's such a thing as physical, you're living in a fantasy world. Let's listen to Einstein as he says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Einstein tells us matter doesn't exist. Max Planck, when he was receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics, back at the turn of 1900s, Max Planck, as a physicist, says this, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields, one nested within another, nested within another. Do you have a disease going on? What have you nested into the tear, whether it's the big toe, the kneecap, the liver, the lung, the heart, or the brain disease? What have you nested into the big toe, the kneecap, the lung, the liver, or the heart to create that distortion? What's the energetic anomaly there? And can you access that and bring it to the presence of love for dissolution, for forgiveness? And that, my friends, is the essence of So that's the essence of the healing process. And when I can bring that nested frequency, that underlying energy forward to conscious awareness. Now, it can be cognitive. You know, in the case that I just shared with Patrick, he's right back hanging upside down in the tree, remembering, and it was interesting to watch his gyrations to see what tip himself over almost upside down to cough out this, you know, tear gas, to cough that out of his lungs, to cough that energy out of his body. And as I lift the overlaid energy from the tissue that's been distorted, yes, somebody will look at the tissue and they'll say, see, it's supposed to be shaped like this, but it's shaped like this. So we know it's disease. Well, what's happened is the energy that's been overlaid on the tissue is what has created the distortion. And when I remove the overlay, and the removal is the act of forgiveness, when I remove the overlay, the big toe, the kneecap, the lung, the liver, the heart, or the brain, whatever it is, goes back to a fully healthy state. The energy is always willing and ready to spring back to full expression if I'm willing to face, bring love present to whatever I'm hiding from myself. And that's the essence of the miracle of healing. You go back to Yeshua, and of course, there's this whole magic story about this magic man who fixed and healed all those people.
But you'll notice that in those healing stories, when those people wanted to turn to him and say, wow, look what you've done, what did he say to them? Now go read the story of the woman who's has this issue of blood. She has a continuous menstrual flow and has had that going on for 12 years. She has this inner knowing that if she can touch the hem of his garment, does that mean she wants to touch a piece of cloth? No, that's a metaphor for being in the energy field of empowerment for healing. When she touches into his energy field, she is vitalized and empowered, and it's that high vitality state that allows us to recapture from tissue the overlay that creates the disease and the distortion and remove that distorted energy. And you remember when everybody wants to make him the hero, he says to her, woman, your faith made you whole. The action you took made you whole. Yes, I was here as your support. I held the space for you. But it is your work that made you whole. If you are going to heal in your life, it's your work that will make you whole. And Yeshua provided the exact tool for how to do that. Once again, the tool is called forgiveness. Forgiveness is the tool with which you reach inside the hidden parts of your own mind, which reflects as your physiology. You access any dis-ease energy, any energy that does not belong, and you remove that energetic pattern. Removal is the act of forgiveness. Take the overlay off the pancreas starts to function again. Take the overlay off of the heart, the brain, the lung, or the liver, and that tissue begins to act in full function again. It looks distorted and diseased because of the energetic patterns of disease that have taken the tissue over. Breathe, forgive, access and remove what doesn't belong. Bring forward the presence of love. Put a smile on your face and activate the frontal lobes of the brain where Rachma resides. And in the presence of that act of love, all dis-ease energies begin to be removed from the system. Feed the system what it needs to be fully functional, and you'll function as a human being again. We're here to support at depth the understanding of the principles by which that healing process operates, and to be the space and to empower you to understand the principles and then to enter into the practice of using the tools that empowers that energetic shift to take place. And such things as the burning, searing pain in the feet of a man who's been 5 decades holding the grief and the pain of being betrayed by his own men. Embrace that energy in love, dissolves the overlay that causes the thing they call diabetic neuropathy, and the feet move in a healthy manner, and the man walks for miles before a single flight of steps was more of a challenge than he could handle. It's so awesome to watch the process occur. It's so awesome for people to step into the use of that tool. Again, if you don't have the forgiveness wake-up sheet available to you, go to your phone app store, type in the words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, download the app and put it to work. Or go to, and go to our website, whyagain.org, upper corner, click on the Start Here button, and you'll be utilizing the First Century Aramaic Forgiveness process and learning everything that we've come to know over the period of almost 50 years of working with this tool. That's what we're here to share with you and to make yours. And so we're down to the last minute or so. We're honored and delighted that you're here with us to be part of this conversation. If this show has been meaningful for you, when the show is over, you can go to whyagain.org and click on the microphone on the page. Go to the archives. You can save the MP3 to your phone or to your computer, or you can copy a link. You can send the file to someone or send someone the link and have them give a listen. In the meantime, we're here to support you creating the best year yet of your eternal life. That is an awesome gift to give the world, and we're here to support you getting it.
All right. Thank you for listening to that pre-recorded show. Today, we're going into the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Thursday, December 30th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue, and we would love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And the Course in Miracles, Dr. Tim's been doing that all year, and the one for every day this week has been, this holy instant would I give to you, be you in charge, for I would follow you, certain that your direction gives me peace. And in the Pathways of Light, it gives, I'm not going to read all of it, but one paragraph of description. It says, we must want the holy instant to know we have it. It is not forced upon us against our will. It comes as we are willing to accept that God's will is ours, and we share God's will with all that is real. When we choose to value separation, which is valuing littleness, we are opposing all that the holy instant would bring us. That is why Yeshua tells us, your practice must therefore rest upon your willingness to let all littleness in which magnitude dawns upon you is but as far away as your desire for it. As long as you desire it not and cherish littleness instead, by so much it is far from you. By so much as you want it, it will bring it nearer. So let go of all the littleness. And so we appreciate Dr. Tim doing the Course in Miracles all year long. And we're filling in for him. He's on vacation this week. I'm giving Michael just a moment to get dialed in. The recording actually ended a few minutes early, so we've got just a few minutes. I'll invite you to also go to our website, which is whyagain, whyagain.org. And you can click on the Start Here button, and that will take you to where there's just all kinds of information and get you started on where to begin. There's also, and this week, the first 3 days of this week, we were playing the AA programs, 12 steps, and several callers calling in and giving the comparison to this work. And that information can also be found not just in the notes for the last 3 days, but if you go to the website and you click on the Start Here button or scroll down and hit the bullseye, both of those take you to the same place. Scroll down just a little bit, and you will see there's a picture of a guy carrying a piano up 12 steps. And it says, click here to go to radio shows specifically related to addiction programs. And if you click that, it will take you to a page where there's MP3s about the 12 steps. There's also a button that says, do you want to stop the addiction? Where do you start? And if you click that, and down near it has several links and suggestions for watching different movies and things. And then at the end of that, it says, listen to the MP3s of Recovery Wednesdays. And that started in January of 2016 and went through December of 2016. So it was the entire year. And it was on Wednesdays that we would talk about the recovery and 12 steps and AA. So really good information out there. And so just scroll through the website. You'll find all kinds of things. And just click and listen and watch and then let us know. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We are delighted that you're here. We're just about to our last show of the year. One more tomorrow will be complete for another spin around the sun. And we appreciate your participation. We appreciate, especially when we get to hear from you and what's on your mind. Of course, the thing that's always on our minds is forgiveness. And the fact that this genius process that this man Yeshua brought to the earth 2,000 years ago has been so totally covered up, turned inside out, backward, upside down, that I don't know of anywhere else on planet Earth that you will find, one, a definition of forgiveness that is accurate and true, and two, the technology of how to use it, and three, and I say this from the perspective that I literally taught this process for better than 35 years without understanding why and how it works. I explain it very simply now. It just, I mean, when you've got the brain cells, it's so obvious that this is what's happening. But literally, I taught it because it worked. You know, when I was first introduced to this idea of the word forgive being shabag and it meaning to cancel, and that when we applied the canceling of goals, that perception collapsed. Well, I wasn't introduced to that, just applied this canceling of a goal. There was no explanation about what happened, why it happened, and it was sort of, for me, it was sort of incidental. This goes back 40 years ago. It was incidental that I mentioned it on occasion because I'd been introduced to it. I'd mentioned it in my workshops. And what really got my attention and got me to go back to working with the first century idea of canceling goals, but there was no explanation as to what happened or why it worked. But I'd have people who would say, you know, Michael, I've been doing that canceling of goals thing. That's really powerful. I was like, oh, really? Okay, well, let's work with it. Let's see what happens. And after 35 years of teaching it, I finally developed enough brain cells to understand why it happened and how it happened. Until just a few years ago, I couldn't explain why it worked. And now with the brain cells to understand it and putting it together, I look around the globe and it doesn't exist anywhere. You know, I've worked with Course in Miracles for, I don't know, about the same time period. And after I understood the forgiveness process from the first century Aramaic, I had the brain cells to recognize that the definition of forgiveness in Course in Miracles was identical. And I've visited all kinds of groups and, you know, looked at all kinds of posts, and I've not met one person yet working with Course in Miracles that understands what forgiveness means, and more importantly, how to do it. If you go to workbook lesson 305, and, you know, without having the first century Aramaic behind me, I had no recognition of this. But with the brain cells from the first century Aramaic, when I read the passage, I think it's in paragraph 7 of workbook lesson 305, it says, let go all the things you think you want. Your trifling treasure put away, and leave a clean and open space within your mind. Now, I hesitate to use some of the words of the Course the way that they're used because people have so many weird associations with so many words. But literally what it says in the Course is leave a clean and open space within your mind for Christ to come. Now, who would recognize that that was forgiveness unless the eyes to see and the ears to hear? I didn't. Until I started to understand it from the Aramaic, and then it was just like that stood out like a, you know, the old proverbial sore thumb. Let go all the things you think you want. So let's recognize that perception is a construct of the mind. You've never seen anything with your eyes. That's all a lie. I mean, that's all a lie. I don't care. And please, if you think I'm not telling the truth, put me up with the greatest ophthalmologist in the world. Put me up with the greatest brain scientist in the world. Let's talk to anybody on the planet, the greatest philosophers, the greatest psychologists. You have never seen a thing with your eyes. Your eye is an antenna. It's a receiver for light. That's all it is. You can't see out through a receiver. You can't look up the wires on the back of your TV set and look back through the antenna and see out into the world any more than you can look out and see anything through your eyes. Now, we've been taught and we believe, and it seems apparent that, gee, I just opened my eyes and I look out there and I see all those things. If you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he said, be careful. Don't judge by appearances. Everything that you think you see out there is an appearance in your mind. And it comes from your mind. It's generated by your mind. It's internal. There's no light energy going into the brain. There's no sound energy going into the brain. The brain doesn't hear. A little drum in your ear vibrates in response to the movement of air molecules. And that creates an electrical frequency. Like, what a genius piece of work that is. Creates an electrical frequency in the brain that causes brain cells to fire, and we think we hear. But if my brain cells for a particular word, like see, if my brain cells are, well, I see, I open my eyes, I look out there. Whenever somebody says, what did you see? I think, well, what's out there? If I have accurate brain cells, I'm not going to say I saw what was out there. If I accurately understand, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, the construct of my mind in response to that frequency, that set of words, shows me a picture, converts that frequency into a picture that I think I see through my eyes, and now I know better. I know that it's generated by my brain. And if I judge by appearance, if I think that I'm looking out there, when in fact I'm looking at something in my brain, I mean, life is going to be plain screwy. Take a look around at how screwy it is. Everybody thinks they're looking at everybody else with a problem, and nobody knows. Or rare is the person who has a clue that they're looking at the product of what's firing inside of them, and they have no idea how to collapse what's firing inside them, so they get to live the title of my book. Why is this happening to me again? Or, you know, we'll get phone calls at Heartland from people. Hey, I understand you have this book. Why are they doing this to me again? Why am I doing this to myself again? When I realize that everything I think I see with my so-called body's eyes is a construct of my mind, then when there are errors in the constructs of my mind, and how do I know if there are errors? Hostility or fear will enter into the picture. When I understand that that's a construct of my mind that tells me about the contents of my mind, and then I have the technology of forgiveness. Oh, how do you do that, Michael? Let go all the things you think you want. Well, but I have this wonderful goal for somebody to cherish me. You want me to let go of that? You want me to cancel that? Why would I do that? That's a perfectly good goal. I should have that goal for everyone, shouldn't I? I'm in agreement with you. You absolutely should. Well, here you are, Michael. You know, I'm in pain, and they're really hurting me. And you're telling me to cancel my goal for them to cherish me? Are you crazy? No. Well, why are you telling me to cancel a perfectly good goal? Because your goal, whenever you load it in your mind, causes your mind to utilize
that hostility or fear-based corrupt data to build the appearance, the picture in your mind that your eyes tell you see out there. And until you clean it up, so let go all the things you think you want. And here's where my take is on that thought from the Course in Miracles, your trifling treasure put away. If you want anything other than to experience yourself as the human being that you are, as the conscious active presence of love, if you want to experience anyone else as other than what they are, then your mind is going to tell you all kinds of falsehoods. And once you recognize what's really important to experience yourself as active present love, to experience those around you as active present love, your trifling treasure has now been put away. If you think you want money from them, if you think you want approval, you want love, you want to, you want them to keep their word, you want them to buy what you wanted them to buy, you want to sell, you want them to do, you want them, you want them, you want them. All of that is trifling treasure that keeps your mind driven by goals that are absolutely, totally, completely meaningless. So your trifling treasure put away, your goal collapsed, canceled, pardon me, your perception collapses. Now, you remember we've talked about the Harvard research that tells us that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells are firing, there's a maximum of 9 bits of data that go into building your perceptual construct. So if you think of it as the screen of awareness, the screen of your conscious mind can hold 9 bits of data. In a time frame where, according to laboratory stats, they can measure 10,000 units of information firing. So you get to see a tiny fragment, and you want that tiny fragment to be clean and open for truth. But it won't be clean and open as long as you're holding a goal that resonates some form of hostility or fear in you. And your mind will hallucinate a world, and it doesn't matter. It can hallucinate the terror on a spouse, a child. How do you suppose something like shaken baby syndrome can possibly happen? This 280-pound, 6-foot-6 guy, shakes a baby to death? How could that possibly happen? Because that 6-foot-6, 280-pound guy was threatened by this baby. Well, come on, Michael, that's pretty silly. How could a little baby? All that guy has to do is not know how to manage his own mind and allow his hostility filter to be active. And the smallest infant can resonate the greatest threat. And then behavior will be based on that object of attention being a threat. And the child is injured or dies. Look at, the language going on in our culture. You look at how many people are out there calling for civil war. What have we got? We've got people whose hostility filters are set, and everything they look at is a threat. And they have no idea that they're the ones doing the threatening. They're the ones making the raging, insane phone calls. They're the ones who are plotting to capture, politicians. They're the ones, on and on it goes. So your trifling treasure put away, your goal canceled. You now have a clean and open space where love can present itself in your mind. And when love presents itself in your mind, pain dissolves. Why do you suppose the technology for achieving that goal was disappeared almost, as far as I can tell, almost as soon as it came to the planet, it was disappeared and turned around into forgiveness is about how you're the cause of the pain in me, well, yes, I've been through this pain 87 different times with 42 different people, but you're the cause of the pain in me, and therefore, if I puke on you enough, then my pain will go away. And I have no idea how to bring correction. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, they told me. I let you off the hook because I'm in pain. If I let you off the hook because I'm in pain, have I done anything to address or deal with pain that's inside of me? The perceptual apparatus of virtually every human being on the planet has been fooled. Do you remember in the ancient scriptures they said there will come a time when the whole world will be fooled? If your perceptual apparatus shows you that someone else is the cause of your pain, you need to learn to call yourself a liar and to give that up, to bring forgiveness to that part of your mind that holds whatever that pain is about. We've just gone through that whole process, through the worksheet process with our character Richard in the book. And here we are on December 30th, and we're down to the last page of the book. And so I'm going to open the book here, and we're going to complete that last page today. Will you make the difference? If you're following along with us in the book, or if you want a copy of the book and you don't have one, it's out of print, but there are copies available on eBay, on Amazon. You can buy used, and or you can go to our website and download it free. So if you're following along, page 181. Dear reader, the purpose of each tool in this book and our work is to support the healing of ourselves, each other, and the planet. People from many nations are working with and supporting these tools. Will you join with our International Heartland family in being responsible, using the tools, and perhaps being the voice that will bring peace and healing to the world? If anger or upset in any form play a part in your relationships or life, will you choose to be a voice for peace? And recognize that the mind is the liar. The mind is the liar. It is the greatest trickster in the world. It can show you anything you tell it to show you. And words are a key. If I use the words of denial, you made me mad, I just gave my mind a set of instructions. Mind, show me that my mad is caused by them. And notice throughout your life, you've been able to hallucinate a whole series of people who are all the cause of your mad or your sad or your glad. Doesn't matter. Restoration to conscious, active, present love is the objective of this work. And we're delighted that you're here to be part of accomplishing that objective. And Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
We do have a hand up. And I believe that
awesome.
It is Miss Julie, area code 541. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm in the queue. I'm on the show.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Oh,
loud
shoot.
And clear. Welcome.
Oh, you can
Merry
hear
Christmas.
Me? Okay. Hi. You can hear me? Wait, hold on.
Loud and clear.
You do hear me.
Got you. Loud and clear.
Yes. You're good.
Okay. Well, this is weird. I'm driving across Nevada, and my thing put me in the queue, and I didn't even do that. But I'm happy to be in the queue. So, but we were just switching drivers. And I'm coming back from Salt Lake City, and it's snowy, and just had my birthday yesterday. That was fun.
Well, happy Eternal Day. I didn't know what
you're... Yeah, I'm the end of the year. tax write-off.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
You arrived
anyway.
Just in time.
I know, my dad wanted that. Anyway, so let's see. So I do have to concentrate on driving, but I have to say I did a worksheet last night, and it was about drinking too much coffee. And I realized some things. It went way back. It's about pleasing people. Can you hear me okay? I'm tangled up in my...
You don't ever have to ask again. We got you loud and clear, Julie.
Okay, good. I need to concentrate. Okay.
Well, should we let you get back to driving then?
Highway. Yeah, I'm driving now. But I'm good.
Should we let you get back to focusing on driving, or do you have something you want to share with us?
Well, probably. I'm not ready to share. I can share another day, but it was pretty powerful to see that I used the app. That's what I wanted to say. It's the first time I've ever used the Dragons one. I've never used that before, and it's pretty cool. And so
tell us about your experience of it.
Mm-hmm, I was able to copy the things I wrote and then paste them into my phone on my notes, you know, and that was nice to be able to do that feature. And so I can reread them because I got some really good insights, and mainly because I haven't done a worksheet in a while, there was a pile, you know. A lot of connections, so I'm grateful for that.
That's awesome.
Mhm. Yeah, and we're just making it home from all the storms and everything, and you know, I did send you a card finally before I left, so something's in the mail for you. Should arrive soon.
Okay, great, wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So, is all well with you?
We are rocking. Yes, all is well. We've been through COVID. We've been through COVID, which is an interesting experience.
Mm-hmm.
With quite a tweak to the immune system, and actually a pretty powerful learning experience for both of us. We're actually seeing gifts come from it, and I'm thinking about writing something about that, getting a different perspective on the whole COVID thing and the challenges to health. So that's been a powerful thing, and Jean's dad is still in rehab. They're working with seeing if he can get him back up on his feet. You know, all three of us had COVID, and so we went and visited him yesterday, and he was, you know, the 2 days before that I saw him, it's like, I don't think he's ever coming home again. And yesterday was hopeful. He was back, and, you know, so I think we're on the right track, and now that he's in rehab and out of the hospital, he didn't get very good care in the hospital, unfortunately. But he's getting some good support and care in rehab, and so he's rocking. Yesterday almost beat us at Domino's.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love Domino's.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I hope maybe there's some other people on the line. You know, I'm willing to go ahead and listen, be a listener. But I really appreciate every day. I appreciate your work and the work that I'm able to do.
Awesome. Well, you travel safely, mm-hmm. and holy day blessings, and holding the space, mm-hmm. for the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
take care.
You.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, we have 35 minutes. We've got plenty of time. There's no hands up, so I will just put something out there and let you address it. And then I had a session with someone this morning, and she's been doing the worksheets for quite a while, but her husband has just started working them, and he has an issue with being responsible for bringing events into his life. And I explained to her that responsibility is actually being able to respond instead of just reacting, and explained how, you know, we draw things to us. And I even gave her the example of the study that was done where they did a lineup of, like, pedestrians or whatever, and then had the prisoners come in one at a time and pick out of the lineup who they would attack. And they all picked the same person. I said, you know, that's an example of that. There's a vibration that comes off of us, and we ask for certain behaviors. And her husband has trouble with that some things happened to him as a child, and she didn't go into any detail whether it was abuse or what, but that there's no way that as a child he could have asked for that. And so I attempted to explain genetics and how it gets passed on. And, of course, people always pick the extreme, like a baby, like you said, being shaken to death or whatever. How does that happen? How do you ask for that when you're really not even at a cognitive state yet?
So two thoughts. One, you might send her a link to the first hour of today's show, because we got into the energetic dynamics of that somewhat in that show. So that might be useful to him to get some comprehension. And then most people think that asking is saying, oh, I want this, or please bring me that, or get this for me. And that's not where our asker is. The key to me in this, to understanding this principle, is to recognize that our asker is in the unconscious mind. It's not what we say with our mouths. You know, if I say, I don't ever want to be abused again, in my head I'm saying, you know, I'm finished with abuse, I'm done with abuse. But what I resonate in my asker is the energy of abuse. And so by simply mouthing the words, by engaging in the frequency of, I don't ever want to be abused again, I just resonated abuse. And guess who's going to show up? You know, literally, you know, everything in our lives is energy, including our thoughts and our words. And when I resonate a thought, energy by definition is motion. And so when abuse, you know, the only thing that can resonate in me in response to I don't ever want to be abused again is abuse. And so firing those brain cells, I set up a literal measurable energy wave. You know, if we go back, and I don't know whether we addressed this in the first hour or not, I didn't listen to the whole show, but way back, oh, 40 plus years ago, I used to keynote at a conference called Global Science. And one year, a gentleman named Marcel Vogel came to and keynoted also at Global Science. And Marcel is a guy who was the only non-degreed scientist that IBM ever had on their staff. Marcel, when he was 11 years of age, invented and patented chemical light. You know, a light stick, if you go to a football game and you buy this plastic stick that has tubing in it, you break the tubing and the chemicals mix and it lights up. He invented that at the age of 11. Family didn't have the money to patent it, Marcel patented it. The reason that your computer works is because Marcel invented the magnetic coating that goes on the plates in your hard drive that stores information in your hard drive. That's the kind of mind Marcel had. For this particular conference, he brought this Delaware camera. And the Delaware camera is different than your standard camera. Your standard camera, there's an aperture. You hit the shutter, the aperture opens, lets in a certain quantity of light. The quantity of light hits the photographic plate and it's registered there. The Delaware camera, between the aperture and the photographic plate, there's a tuning mechanism, much like a radio. So you can attune to different frequencies. So when you've attuned to a particular frequency, the energy that comes in through the aperture that registers on the photographic plate is whatever the camera is attuned to. So, for instance, you know, if I take a picture of an acorn, light energy from bounces off of the acorn, hits the photographic plate, and I develop it, and there's an acorn. But if you tune the camera correctly and you take a picture of an acorn, what shows up on the photographic plate is an oak tree. Now you say, wait a minute, Michael. Now that's pretty silly to think you could take a picture of an oak tree from an acorn. Well, let's think in terms of, let's be physicists for a minute. Let's think in terms of physics and energy. And let's be gardeners for a moment. Has anybody here ever planted, let's say, I don't know, let's say an acorn. Would you plant an acorn and expect to get tomatoes from the acorn seed? Would you ever expect to get corn, honey, wheat, beans, rice? Would you expect to get a new car out of the acorn growing in the ground? No. What are you going to get? You're going to get an oak tree. So obviously, if you know how to decode it, the picture or the instruction set for the oak tree is in the acorn. You know, here I am sitting in a room, and I don't have a tuning mechanism for the 1,000 different television stations, pictures, and voices going through the room. But the minute that I set up a tuning mechanism for one of those pictures and voices, I'm all of a sudden watching Channel 3. It's here. It's in the room. I have to have the decoder. Well, what the Delaware camera was able to do was to decode the frequencies that were sitting in front of it that are invisible to the eye and seemingly couldn't possibly be there, but obviously, seeing as how you will never plant an acorn and get a tomato plant out of it, the frequency, the pattern, the vibration, the image of the acorn or the oak tree has to be in the acorn. Now, I've seen pictures taken, in one case, pictures of a fetus in utero at 1 month, at 2 months, and at 6 months. And you can see the developing fetus. All three pictures were taken the same day. Now, wait a minute, Michael. Now, how can... Well, obviously, if you know how to attune to, I mean, some little man doesn't jump inside of the single cell at conception and say, okay, I'm going to write the program for tomorrow, and then jump out of the cell, and then the next day jump in and say, oh, now I'm going to write the... Obviously, the whole program for the unfolding of that physiological system is written in the single cell at conception. And it's going to unfold. If you knew how to decode it, the same as when I know how to decode Channel 3, I can watch Channel 3, then obviously I can attune to that frequency. Whenever you put out, you know, if you go back to that scriptural dictate that says ask and you receive, and again, remember your asker is not in your head, it's in your heart, it's in your unconscious. So if I come from 1,000 generations of abuse, children who've been beat up, who've been starved, who've been murdered, who, you know, whatever the crazies are, frequency is coded in my structure, in my asker. And the reason for doing the work of forgiveness is all the things that have ever showed up in your life that you say, I didn't ask for this and I didn't want this, you've got to forgive. If you want to be finished with those things. And remember that forgiveness doesn't mean you're going to let somebody off the hook for what they did. Forgiveness means I learn to go in and decode what is in my asker, and I remove from it what is not in harmony with my conscious awareness today. And if I don't do that, then guess what life is designed to do? Life is designed to send me somebody with the decoder. And when they show up to decode the instruction sets that you hold of deserving abuse or trauma or drama of any kind, it's not going to be fun. A whole lot better to utilize the technology of forgiveness to go inside the hidden parts of the mind and clean out what never belonged rather than play it out. If we look around at the insanity going on in the world today, we can see what kinds of trifling treasures people are carrying around in their minds. And if we want things to be different for our future generations, for ourselves or our offspring of the future, if we want it to be different, then somebody's got to do something about the state of affairs as it is today. I can remember when my son was born 42 years ago. I'm holding this miracle, And what comes to mind is if somebody doesn't do something, there isn't going to be a world for this child to grow up in. Things were that crazy. And this body of work is what I did. That was a major motivator for me to step forward and to diligently study, work with, practice, and engage these tools to bring together an understanding that was logical, rational, and that anybody could take hold of, and it would work. You know, I often think about one of the shows some time back that Dr. Tim did as a psychologist, and he was talking about how there were different therapists who just had, you know, monumental results with people, and he or other therapists would go and study with them, and nobody else could produce the result that that therapist could produce. There was something intangible about it. And the thing that attracted Dr. Tim to this work was that he found that if he took these tools and handed them to somebody, anybody could produce the result with the tools. Because the tools are working with the truth of the way this human energy system operates, and it gives us access to our asker. Our asker is something that is a cumulative energetic pattern that brings in all of the energetic patterns that have been engaged by every mind in our bloodline. It's all stored there. It's like, you know, who told us that every thought, every feeling, every reality structured in every mind of our previous generations was stored within us and was part of the energy pattern, part of literally the source pattern that set up the frequencies that draw results into our lives? And instead of those frequencies radiating out from us energetically, creating these high energy waves that leave the mind that Marcel Vogel with his camera could take a picture of, instead of those things radiating out from us, that forgiveness was a way to open the veil of the temple, the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious mind, come back into direct relationship with those insane and pained things that were in the asker that we really say, I don't ever want to have that happen to me or anybody ever again. To confront them in myself and remove them. And that's the objective of forgiveness. Does that fit and make sense, sweetie, for your question?
It does. The only other thing that he might ask is, as a child, though, how do they – and I know that goes back into genetics. I gave her the example of my mom, too, but, you know, how does a child ask for that if they're even still too small to cognitively think of something like that?
Well, but here's the thing. Your asker isn't cognitive. It's not part of the cognitive mind. Your asker is the accumulated energies within your unconscious, generational patterns of energetic engagement become the energy that directs the creative process in our lives. So there's no conscious requirement to asking for something. The reverse is what's necessary, and that is to open what's in the accumulated generational patterns and remove all the asking for insanity. And the way that we ask for something is we just need a frequency to pass over the mind. You know, if the frequency passes over the mind of, oh, I never want to be abused ever again, then I just asked for abuse. I just set up the frequency of abuse. I need to consciously, purposely, and this is what forgiveness does, collapse the perceptual constructs of my mind and access directly what's in the asker. Bring those things forward, those energetic patterns from the generations. You know, go back and we talked about this one the other day, was the quote in the scriptures that goes, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. Whatever your fathers, mothers, and of course that isn't a sexist thing, it isn't just males, but whatever your ancestors engaged in are energetic patterns that arrive intact in you and play out and set up the frequencies that bring experiences into your life. applying forgiveness allows us to access those things and bring them forward in the presence of love to be removed and put an end to that experience. And when you, you know, I don't care what you do, you can fight against something day after day after day after day, and it's going to keep coming after you. The day you stop, the day you collapse the perceptual construct of the mind based on destructive energetic patterns for the generations, which would be called the asking, the day we can bring those patterns forward in the presence of active love is the way they dissolve, disappear, and are forgiven, are removed. So how can a child do that? All a child has to do is have a father or a mother that was abused or abusive. And if nobody brings those frequencies of abuse forward to the presence of love in order for them to be dissolved, if no conscious agent interacts and cleans that up, then that's set in stone in the ass of the child from minute one of conception. And the whole objective of the forgiveness process is to collapse the constructs of the mind that tell us it's all about somebody else and get down to the root of the energetic pattern that never belonged and remove those root experiences, those energetic patterns that keep repeating in our lives. It's like, you know, whoever told us that we were conceived with a structure that had every thought, every feeling, every reality of every generation in our bloodline. Who told us that? And then who told us that those energetic patterns would be what would unfold and manifest in our world? And who told us that forgiveness was the way that you could open those patterns to shift and change them and to be removed? And that literally is what this work is totally and completely about, removing those patterns.
Awesome.
It is awesome to understand, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We have 16 minutes. Does that bring up a question for somebody? Do you need further clarification on that? I will definitely direct her and her husband to listen to the whole 2 hours today.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And, you know, if you and I, sweetie, had been sitting in, you know, any listener in the room, in the on the show right now, I guarantee if we'd have been in the hometown of any one of you that's listening right now and we've been sitting up on a platform, you know, your local library, your local church, or your local prison, and you were there and you heard this conversation and Jeannie and I stepped off the platform, you'd be coming up to one or both of us and saying, well, what about? How does this work? That's what we're here to answer for you. So if we were there live in your hometown and stepped off the platform, finished our presentation, and you'd come over and ask a question, then please push one right now. And ask that question. That's what we're here for.
And speaking of asking questions, if you haven't updated your app or if you haven't downloaded it, please go to your app store, whether it's Google or iPhone. It's in both. And Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and download the app. There are two different worksheets, wake-up sheets that you can do. There's the Dragon Klingon game. There's all the commitments. There is a link to our schedules and what's going on online and Zoom, and a link to more, which takes you to just a whole lot of different links. And then there is a link to how to access the radio show. And on any page of any of those, you can ask a question right there. You can just click the little ask a question button and type out your question, and it sends me an email. And then we will address it on one of the radio shows, and we will send you back an email and let you know what date and time we answered your question. So please take advantage of that as well. If you're working, doing a worksheet or a wake-up sheet on the app, and you run across something, you can stop and ask the question right there and then continue.
Yeah, I'm just so thrilled about how the app has developed. Jeannie, your work on that has been just awesome. And the fact that we have this now available on a global scale is just, to me, it's like beyond exciting. All the years of work that have been put into putting this together, and the fact that we can just hand that to anybody on the globe and they can access forgiveness right there on the spot is, you know, beyond comprehensible and just so amazing and awesome that it's there. And, you know, when Julie a few minutes ago talked about the Dragon Klingon game, one of the things that's in the app, there are two different worksheets. You can do a simple form worksheet or a more complete worksheet, but there's also a thing called the Dragon Klingon game. If you click on that, it's designed for kids to look at, to start to understand forgiveness and look at what kind of things they're dragging on or clinging onto and how to forgive them. And it is a fun way for an adult to do the same. So jump onto the app. You know, go to your app store and type in Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness, and be using it. You'll be right there. I wish there were a faster way to, once people are introduced, to get them over the hump of, oh my God, what am I going to have to look at in myself? What do I have to deal with? And turning away and running from it. You know, I've done everything I can do to creatively bring forward an understanding of the benefits of it. And still, I recognize that a lot of people turn away from, no, it's just too painful, too traumatic for me to look there to deal with it. But I just want to put it out, if that's been a thought for you, that you can trust these tools to carry you through whatever is in your astral, whatever's gone on in your bloodline and your generations. If you'll just take the tools step by step, you can trust that those things will all be resolved. And to me, that's the hope for our future. And, you know, fortunately, this man Yeshua 2,000 years ago, who was a physicist, put forward an idea of critical mass. He said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. You know, obviously, he was not talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. And we don't have to go and convert every, you know, Hitler or, you know, whatever, Mussolini or what have you. All we need to do is get a core number of people who understand the process and begin to use it. And, you know, critical mass, if you're familiar with that concept from physics, you've got a substance. You know, you may have a glass of a substance and you put a drop of a different substance and 2 drops and 3 drops and 10 drops and 50 drops. And at 50 drops, the original substance doesn't change. But then you put the 51st drop in critical mass, and the primary substance shifted structure totally. So if we can get enough people who will use these tools energetically, we'll come to a point where we hit critical mass. That's what we're here to promote, is to get that critical mass through the understanding of tools and using it, and the app just makes it so much easier.
You're breaking up, Michael. I don't know if your microphone just came loose.
Yeah, you're breaking up too, sweetie. I don't know if something strange going on with the sound.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like bubbles.
Yeah, you're like staccato. Your voice is going. So I don't know what's happening.
There must
be something going on with the connection. And perhaps if there's nobody with a hand up in the phone queue, we'll just call it a show and say thank you all for joining us, especially since our sound is going crazy. And holding the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. Hope your holy days are truly holy and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.